Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw View, the show here at youtube.com/Stephen Larson, where we review old... What are you doing?
You know...
Why?
I went and got some chili today for lunch. And you have to spoon it and put it in the cup, you know? And so I got a spoonful in my cup.
Yeah.
I put the spoon in there. For some reason, the angle at which the spoon hit the surface of the chili splashed chili everywhere. Yeah. So I have chili out of my shorts. I look like a jerk.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know that's not important? You know what's important?
Well, this morning, because it put me in a foul mood.
You know how I've talked highly about Pluto TV? This is not an ad. This is not an ad for Pluto TV. However, I'm going to say this. This morning, I flip on Pluto TV because we put the PlayStation 4 in my bedroom because Lacey wanted to play Fallout 4.
Mm.
And I put it on Pluto TV, and there's a station that shows old cartoons from like back in the day.
Oh,
there's a couple
neat.
Of them, actually, which is really cool. They have like Inspector Gadget.
Ooh.
They were airing one of the only 13 episodes there was of Starcom.
Oh, you were happy, huh?
I was stunned. I had no idea anybody would even know about this show to pick up the license for it. That's insane.
What does that have to do with me getting chili on my shorts?
Oh, I was just reminded of it. I was going to bring it up on the show today. We have to pad this out because there's not a lot to talk about. Today
you
I'm going
chose
to interrupt you.
A thing that was all of 38 minutes long. Friendo chose a thing that was all 38 minutes long. You proposed.
Yeah, I know.
You nominated.
I really wanted to watch that first episode of Nitro again. Because
Why?
It had Lex in the puffy shirt.
I know, it's awful.
So today on Going In Raw View, we're going to talk about ECE, the first, very, very first episode of ECE.
You can't say it like that.
I know, you can't even call it hardcore TV.
No, they label it as such because it's part of the evolution of ECW,
right.
But it is not. There's nothing hardcore about
this
it.
This apparently was the first episode that they scored the deal with like the Philly Sports Network back in 1993.
Three. This episode aired April 6th, 1993.
I love watching this stuff because it's such a nostalgia trip. I always think about, what was young Steve here doing? What was he doing back?
April 6th, 1993.
April 6th, 1993. I wonder what I was doing back then.
See what happened on April 6th, 1993.
Again, we have to pad this episode.
Well, you brought up the idea.
Because not a lot happens here.
Let's see here.
April of 93, so I was
Snow's Informer was a hit.
Why did I know that? I was just humming that in my head.
Client by John Grisham.
I was about to
book.
Graduate my sophomore year of high school. You're about to graduate your junior year of high school.
Well, complete, yes.
Right. And then the next year is when we met. So this is literally, you know,
this predates.
This is about 5 months before we even met. Because remember, I was in physics class.
You're really stretching the pen.
You were a senior and I was a junior because I am smarter than you.
But then I got an A in calculus and you had a
32.
Yeah.
What's lower than an F? Anyways, let's talk about ECW. This is no different than any Todd Gordon at the helm of ECW. This is pre-Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Pre-Shane Douglas throwing down the NWA title.
Happened about a year later.
It happened about a year later. It wasn't, and it wasn't even until a little while after that that they started calling it Extreme Championship Wrestling. The change from Eastern Championship Wrestling to Extreme Championship Wrestling was a slower one than I remember. I mean, there was a delineated time when it went from Eastern to Extreme.
Yeah.
But the extreme stuff started well before it turned to Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, it was still Eastern Championship Wrestling, and they were doing extreme stuff there.
But that wasn't during this show, because the Sandman was a surfer. And he was doing wrestling moves.
Yeah. It happened well after this. And I say well after, I mean probably like 6 months, because again, it wasn't long after Paul Heyman showed up that the big changes happened. I mean, he showed up and he started making, you know, changes pretty quickly.
It was August of next year that Shane would redub the NWA title, the Extreme mm-hmm. Championship Wrestling title. Excuse me. I will look and see when Heyman joined ECW. You continue.
Well, okay, so when Shane Douglas threw that down, did he say Extreme?
I believe so.
I forget if he said that during that promo of his, if he actually said Extreme.
Did. He did? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Looks like just a matter of months after this, Paul Heyman was put in charge of creative.
Okay.
September,
and
maybe?
They started doing the Extreme stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's just background. At this time, ECW, Eastern Championship Wrestling, was your absolute run-of-the-mill. It was your run. You're looking at his promo right now, aren't you?
Okay, he doesn't say. He just says ECW. Sorry.
Yeah, it was still Eastern at the time. Because I looked it up, and I was like, wait a second. Didn't he say Extreme? And it didn't turn into Extreme Championship Wrestling until a little bit after that.
Well, I thought he just used the word Extreme in the promo.
It was your run-of-the-mill indie promotion.
It was in,
from the
it was
early
like
90s.
A high school gymnasium.
It was in a high school gymnasium.
No, college. It was at a college.
There was no actual branding.
No.
Their show logo for ECW was the most basic 3D rendering of the letters ECW in the most basic of fonts. Helvetica, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't,
whatever,
Arial.
Whatever was the default one we opened up the program.
That's exactly what it was. Everybody there seemed very, I'll put it this way. The wrestlers and commentary seem very happy to have some sort of TV deal, although I can't imagine it paid all that much. And the wrestlers, with the exception of Jimmy Snuka and Terry Funk, who didn't wrestle, he was commentating, and he was sort of he was doing a lot of stuff. He was commentating and interviewing. Yeah, he was milling about.
Eventually, would be a wrestler.
This entire thing was a lot of milling about. There were, while things were happening in the ring, you see in the background near the entrance to the gymnasium, people just milling about.
Yeah.
Like, not paying attention. Like, if you could go back in time and say, yeah, I was at the first episode ever of ECW television. Really? What match do you see? I don't know. I was hanging out by the vending machine.
I was in line to get nachos.
It was so boring.
I
ran into Terry Funk.
I think the most interesting aspect of this whole production was a video package.
Of the Sandman.
Yeah, as a surfer.
Yeah, as a surfer. So I didn't even know that he was, number one, he was their heavyweight champion at the time as surfer gimmick.
Yeah, he had the full, like the body glove wetsuit. He came out with a surfboard.
Yeah.
He was doing wrestling moves.
Well, hold on.
As best he could.
He was doing very slow. He still was not a terrific wrestler.
No.
He never showed any growth. I think Sandman just entered in as wrestler, as he was,
yes.
And never ever improved. And that's okay. We didn't need him to improve because he drank a lot of beer and he smoked a lot of cigarettes and
yeah.
He was very violent. He could do violence very well.
Yes.
But at this time, he was just surfer guy. So we open up. Let's go ahead and start with
the the ECW commentary team. Stevie Wonderful.
Which, again, I looked him up. Couldn't really find whatever happened to that guy.
And Jay Sully.
Again, don't really know much. The commentary team, they were not very good.
No, the funny thing about Jay Sully is on his lower third, when he was introduced, was spelled one way, but the end credits was spelled a different way.
Maybe one was a screen name and the other one, what was spelled different about it?
Well,
one
his
L
lower,
versus two?
No, on the lower third, it ended with an I, okay. And then in the end credits, it ended with a Y.
With a Y. The disconnect there, some miscommunication.
Yeah, so they talked for a bit. In walks Todd Gordon,
mm-hmm.
the owner, I believe, at the time of ECW.
So all I can see here about Stevie Wonderful, again, he wasn't very good at commentary. He was a wrestler of some sort because at ECW Super Summer Sizzler in June of 93, him and Sal Bellomo, who we'll see later, went in a six-person tag match. So it was him, Sal Bellomo, and Super Destroyer 1. Versus Hunter Q. Robbins III, who looked like the
super... He was the manager of the Super Destroyers.
Yeah. And Sir Jonathan Hotbody, we saw him, and Sir Richard Michaels. I don't remember
who's
him.
Sir Richard Michaels? Click on his name.
We're just going down a rabbit hole right now, man. His various ring names are Bill Pierce, Chris Comet, that sounds familiar, and Chris Michaels.
Sounds like a kayfabe corner name. So they're introducing the show. Todd Gordon says, We're going to start the tournament for the television title this morning. He's holding said title. In walks Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah, we knew him.
Yeah, who was one of the bookers, I think, at the time in ECW. And then we are joined by a legend in the wrestling world, Terry Funk.
In his new gimmick as car salesman.
Yeah.
Because he came across as this was not, oh my God, it's extreme.
Just
Terry
2
Funk.
Years later, he was blowing up Cactus Jack in Japan.
Yeah, he got started in his, now they refer to him as the King of the Texas Deathmatch.
Yeah.
He claims to have basically invented that, and then Onita came over here, I think, and saw what they were doing and took it back to Japan with him.
I thought Onita went to Memphis and saw it there.
Okay,
Memphis
maybe.
Was involved in some respect. Either someone in Texas got it from Memphis, or Onita went to Memphis.
Okay, it was some combination of that. But this was, I think, it was before Terry realized that he needed to adapt to this extreme thing.
Yeah.
To stay relevant because he wanted to keep wrestling, which he obviously did, and I think is still doing it today.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Memphis. it was a very, what's the name? Congenial.
Yeah.
Terry Funk. He had on a sports coat and a tucked-in dress shirt.
Yeah, dress shirt tucked in, no tie.
Right.
Jeans, I believe.
Yeah.
But considering he had the sports jacket. It classed him up.
Now, in a bit of foreshadowing for...
And he looked like between this and when he was doing the hardcore stuff in Japan, he had aged about 10 years.
Yeah. But then after he started doing the hardcore stuff, like 2 years later, a year later, and today he looked the exact same.
Yeah.
So he aged about 15 years and then stopped.
3 years.
In the span of 3 years and then stopped for the next 20.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, not sure how that happens. So, yeah, Terry Funk was there, and he just looked like he was there simply to have a good time.
Yeah.
This seemed like the kind of thing he's like, I just want to help these guys get their foot going on the road.
Terry!
He had already made all his money off of his Japanese pop album.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, Terry Funk was there to liven things up. He didn't really help on commentary, though. Terry was never really great.
Which is interesting, because he's such a good promo guy.
I know. He's an amazing promo guy, but I think that's just because he's such an amazing heel.
Yeah.
And you really need to be in the moment, fiery passion. That was Terry Funk promos.
Yeah, but also, I guess, with promos, granted, not scripted, but
imaginative, too.
You could think about it in advance and kind of write some stuff on your own and keep those lines in your head and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, the only other time I've seen him do promo work was, I think, at WCW, like later on, a WCW pay-per-view, like early 90s, I think. And he was, again, very congenial.
Yeah.
And maybe just that didn't work for him. Maybe being, good guy Terry, didn't work for him. Maybe he just needed to be Madman Terry.
Could be.
Terry!
Let's move on to the first match, which saw the Super Destroyers.
Yeah, they were...
Super Destroyer number one and number two.
It's kind of like the Authors of Pain, but a million times worse. It was like Garage Sale Authors of Pain.
Yeah, and they took on the Hell Riders. It was HD Rider and EZ Rider. I can tell you, there's nothing high definition about this broadcast.
No, there wasn't. Do you remember American Movie?
Yeah.
Okay. One Coven. Of those. Coven.
Coven.
Coven sounds like oven, man. It's Coven. very few people are probably marking out right now. But one of the Hell Riders looked like Mike Schenck.
Mm-hmm.
Looked dead on like Mike. I was like, is that Mike Schenck? Did I not know that he had a career as Hell Rider?
Yeah, guess not.
HD or J, what is it?
Easy Rider, HD? That makes sense. I don't get HD Rider. What's that reference?
Again, foreshadowing the dawn of high definition.
Guess so.
I have no idea. So anyways.
Harley Davidson.
Oh, yeah, there we go. We got an intern.
We actually have a studio audience today.
Anyways.
So anyway, Super Destroyers end up winning this match with like a...
Hey, it was a flipping senton.
Yeah, it was.
I was actually really impressed.
For a man of that size to pull off such a maneuver.
And in 1993.
I know. That sort of innovation.
It really was. Because it's funny because commentary was so bad. They didn't even know like the word senton existed, I think. Because they were just like, oh, look at that sort of flipping thing there.
That's worse than Vince saying, oh, what a maneuver.
I know, exactly. You know, at least with Vince, like, oh, wow, that was crazy. You know,
what a maneuver.
If you don't know, just be amazed.
So after the match, Terry Funk takes like 3 steps to the ringside area and interviews Hunter Q. Robinson III, the manager of the Super Destroyers.
Is there an age limit for being a manager? Because I feel like this guy was about 12 years too young. He looked like a 12-year-old. But he was yelling a lot. He was like, "You respect my name as Mr. Hunter Q. Robinson the Third." And Terry said, "Okay, Mr. Hunter Q. Robin the Third." He said turd. He called him turd.
He did call him a turd.
And anybody who was actually paying attention started to chuckle a little bit. It didn't get much of a reaction because I don't think people were paying attention.
Nope, they were worried about getting some nachos.
There's a good chance that mic was going just directly to the camera and not to like the PA.
So anybody who was actually sitting in that particular part of the ringside area would actually hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a feeling that Terry Funk speaks softly.
Yeah. He had to be within whisper voice.
Yes.
Yeah, whisper voice.
Next, let's talk about this awesome, incredible Sandman video package that showed off the latest in video editing technology.
Feature length. This was long.
It was at least 5 minutes.
Well, too long. Now, when we say it was edited, that's using the word, the term loosely.
Well, like, it's,
needed to edit it down.
Here's the thing. We're so used to being able to do stuff like that in about 25 minutes.
Moments. It takes moments to do that.
Our non-linear editing software here.
Great.
Like your Final Cut Pro, your Adobe Premiere. They didn't have that back then, I'm sure, at the TV production facilities. That was all linear editing, tape to tape.
Yeah.
You had multiple tape decks. You put tapes in there. Y'all record bits of video down to a record head. You got a panel, the board
Pick
here with
up,
some buttons.
Stuff it into the thing.
Some buttons, some levers to pull for transitions.
Yeah.
That stuff takes time. I've been in one of those rooms. It's laborious.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They should have cut it down a little bit. But he was their heavyweight champion.
Which is weird.
I just appreciate it.
He was a surfer.
I swear there were... You know, that was weird. And it's in Philly. maybe the waves in Philly are great.
It's not next to the ocean.
Yeah, I'm not huge on geography.
I believe you have to drive through New Jersey to
get
to ocean.
Almost positive that Philly is landlocked.
There's a river that goes by it.
But not a lot of waves.
I think the Delaware River.
I don't think... Can you surf in a river?
Well, I mean, if you're expecting waves, no.
Okay, there you go then. You can paddle in a river.
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, he's not a kayaker.
No, that would probably be more appropriate.
I would think so.
I have a feeling the Sandman probably never surfed in his life.
That would not surprise me. Anyways,
Jeff Jarrett, I think, made an appearance in this video package.
Oh, yeah, because it looked like Sandman had gone to Memphis. Oh, I think did they bill him from Nashville? Where did they bill him from?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. But anyways, yeah, Lawler and Jeff Jarrett made appearances in his video package. It was just like a highlight reel. But I swear, there were two moments when, 25% into the promo, it cut to a close-up of him delivering a promo. There was no voice. You didn't hear what he was saying.
Music track or the whole thing.
It was just to get a look at what his face was like. And then, like, about a minute later, they went to the same shot, but it was the video was solarized. You know, solarized filter?
Yeah.
So they messed around with it.
Yeah, they pressed the buttons.
Thinking that maybe that would trick us into thinking it was a new shot. But I am not sure.
Well, there was that one shot where he climbs the turnbuckle to pose.
Yeah.
They freeze frame it.
Yeah.
They dissolve out of it into another shot, and they go back to the freeze frame.
Right.
So they knew how to solarize. They knew how to freeze frame.
They knew how to matte. There was one time.
It was an Irish shot.
There was an Irish shot. It was all white except an Irish shot on his head. And then it went back out. It disappeared.
Yeah.
So they knew how to do that as well.
It was all on the board. There's buttons for all that.
Yeah, probably.
You know how on the Death Star where they're shooting the laser off?
It's like that, huh?
And then there's that lever you pull.
There's levers?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. When did you experience
My very first job out of college.
Wow. Interesting. We're old. Where was that?
In L.A.
Oh. Thank you for that. Anyways, moving on. I know where it was. Was it a TV facility?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyways, moving on. Next up, I didn't know.
We've known him for 20 years. He knows nothing about my employment history before we started working together.
I'll bleep this out. It's the Stars, right?
Not directly.
Okay, all right. I'm probably not going to bleep that out. Tonight.
But I could say we edited stuff for Stars Movie News. It's not like it's a secret.
Tonight featured.
While you're being elliptical about things.
No, because you won't say who you worked for.
I was just trying to be silly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can never tell with you. Known you for 20 years. ECW's TV title tournament began on this night.
Yes.
Didn't end, though.
No, that was episode 3. I looked into it. Episode 3 ended.
So, it was literally, I would say, 7 jobbers and Jimmy Snuka.
Correct.
Oh, one of the jobbers. Wasn't one of the jobbers? No, one of the jobbers was not Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, Eddie Gilbert was in the tournament.
But then Eddie Gilbert was managing Snuka. So I'm assuming he did the job for Snuka.
Potentially.
For no reason.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Did they go to the finals together?
I'm pretty sure Eddie Gilbert was in the bracket. Maybe they just wanted to set it up so.
Yeah, I thought he was too.
It was an all hot stuff international final.
And that's the thing. So he announced. Oh wait, we'll get to that in a second because I want to talk about Hot Stuff International and the vast influence it's had on today's product.
Oh yeah, I'm curious to hear that myself.
ECW TV Title Tournament Round One Match One: Tommy Cairo versus Wildman Salvador Belomo.
Yeah, who was managed by the Cosmic Commander.
Yeah, this was bad. Oh, it was so bad. Tommy Cairo, number one. The thing I love about Tommy Cairo is that he has his leather jacket on at first, right? This is entrance attire. And he looks like, from his superficial appearance on the outside, he looks like he might be kind of a stud.
Yeah.
Okay? He looks like he's in shape. He took that jacket off. Boy, he liked his beer. He had a big old belly on him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. That was great. Because it's like, you don't expect that to happen. All of a sudden, he's in the match. I'm like, oh my God, the guy's like got good cut arms, like big arms. But then, man, those Philly cheesesteaks are something else, man. Well, they'll get you.
Johnny Hotbody was an ECW competitor, and he was missing a lot of hair from back here.
Yeah, but his body was good. He's not saying Johnny has a lot of hair.
That'd be a good name, though.
Johnny Great Hairdo. No, it's Johnny Hotbody. Don't look up here.
Well, the body is the whole thing.
No, from the neck down, it's just body.
Well, that'd be Johnny Hot Torso, then.
Well, the torso plus legs and bollocks and feet and hands and arms, that's your body, man.
But your head's included
when
in your body.
Say they separate your head from... Oh, okay, there you go.
What?
No, I was going to say, you know, like when there's like a decapitation, they say they separate his head from his body. So his head was part of his body.
I think the inference is his head from the rest of the body.
Right.
Your whole person is your body.
No, that's your person. That's your human being.
Yeah, your body. It's the whole thing.
No, it's not. But the body is here. Okay. A body shot in boxing.
This is differentiated from a headshot.
Yes, thank you. It's because he shot you.
But if he hits someone in the bollocks, it's not a bollock. It's not a head. It's not a body shot. That's a low blow. If you hit someone in the thigh, they don't call it a body shot.
Why don't they just call it a torso shot then?
Because body shot rolls off the tongue better.
Maybe. So this match was garbage because most of the matches were garbage.
Yeah.
Who went over? Tommy Cairo?
Yeah, went by count out.
Yeah.
Because both of them are undefeated. Neither of them had been pinned yet.
Oh,
and so to protect both competitors, Tommy Cairo went by count out.
And is this when Johnny Hotbody with the
attacks.
Bald spot?
See, he comes in and
Johnny
attacks.
Bald spot.
Seemingly attacks Sal.
Yeah.
Belomo.
Sal Belomo.
And he causes the count out.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Johnny Hotbody attacks Tommy Cairo.
Right. So after that, we had
Tony Hitman Stetson.
Hold on. He was Tony the Hitman Stetson.
Yeah.
This was 1993.
Gimmick infringement.
There had already been a well-established hitman by the name of Bret Hart.
One who claims to be the greatest there ever was, the greatest there ever will be.
And is currently now.
Tell I'm such a huge Bret Hart fan. I know his catchphrase by heart.
We're huge Bret Hart fans.
We love Bret Hart. So he took on
the Rockin' Rebel.
The Rockin' Rebel, who was apparently the number one contender for the ECW title. So at some point, he and Sandman had a match.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't win because he was never... I looked him up. He was never... Oh, I like this, though. He's billed from anywhere he damn well pleases.
See, that's good.
That's my new favorite thing. Also, one of his only other ring name was The Dark Ninja. That sounds like something I was like when I was like 10 years old and I was fascinated with ninjas and presidents.
Did you ever have any of the magazines?
I wanted to be
the
President Ninja or the President of the Ninjas.
The Ninja magazines?
Yeah, I did. Those were amazing. They were
awesome.
Great.
You can go to the back and buy stuff.
Yeah, I never did, though.
I never did either. Rockin' Rebel is like the epitome of early 90s wrestler. He's got the awful mullet.
Oh, yeah.
Lame gimmick.
Well, both the guys in this match were.
Yeah. Just bad. Anyways, Rockin' Rebel pins Tony Hitman Stetson with his feet on the ropes. He cheated to win.
Rockin' Rebel was, so after leaving ECW, had a brief stint in WCW and numerous dark matches with the WWF. Wow, dark matches in 1995 WWF. How low can you sink?
I know.
Like most of the matches in the WWF in 1995
were of dark match quality.
Were of like sub-dark match quality.
I know.
So who was he fighting?
So anyways, after the match, Jay Sully interviews the Rockin' Rebel.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about this interview.
No, me neither. But I do remember that they both had like crazy mullets going on.
Oh yeah,
they were both.
Rockin' Rebel's mullet was next level.
Very early 90s.
He might have been in Eastern Championship Wrestling, but he had a WWF quality mullet on him.
Oh yeah, for sure. Next up, we had
Jimmy Snuka interview where he turned heel.
You know, there was a line that somebody doled out. I don't. Maybe it was Funk. I forget who, but they said something like, there's something sinister in Jimmy Snuka's eyes. And I was thinking, myself, yeah, he killed a person like 13 years earlier or 10 years earlier to this. You know, that sinister look's been there a little while.
So anyways, he aligns himself with the Hot Stuff, Eddie Gilbert. Yeah. Jimmy Snuka is the newest member of Hot Stuff International. You seem to have some prepared material about Hot Stuff International. Steve, will you please share?
Well, you know, obviously, this is what the WWE has looked to when presenting the world with Titus Worldwide. It's the same thing. Hot Stuff International.
It's a brand. Huh? It's
Titus
not a faction,
brand
per
worldwide.
Se.
Are you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So I'm fascinated with this Eddie Gilbert Hot Stuff International. I want to know who else, what other prospects did he sign to Hot Stuff International? And I don't know the answer to that. Eddie Gilbert was in ECW for a while, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was the Booker man.
He was the Booker man.
I'm pretty sure. Well, carry on.
Hot Stuff and Hyatt International. Oh, look at... Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Look at
Hot Stuff and Hyatt... Well, that's Sting.
See? I'm telling you, this was the forerunner to Titus Worldwide. This is what they think
it can
be. That's
Eddie Gilbert.
Eddie Gilbert, Sting. Who else is it? Is that Rick Steiner?
It looks like him.
It looks like Rick Steiner, doesn't it?
Blade Runner Basher. That's Sting.
Yeah, that's Sting. Who is that? It looks like Rick Steiner, but he looks too old to be Rick Steiner back then.
I just want to have a list of members. Oh, if Rick Steiner's listed here.
Then that's him.
Yeah, Rick Steiner in 87.
Look at that.
This is all UWF.
Eddie Gilbert, Sting. Oh, John Tatum and Jack Victory. Oh,
No. Yeah, Eddie Gilbert, Rick Steiner, and Sting, Hyatt. And Missy Hyatt.
Okay.
That seemed to be the first version of...
Who are all... Can we pick all those people out?
So that's Eddie Gilbert. That's Rick Steiner.
There's
that's
Missy
Sting,
Hyatt.
That's
Sting.
Missy Hyatt. So one is...
That's one of the other Nature Boys, isn't it?
Is that Buddy Landell?
Yeah, that's not Buddy Landell.
That's not Buddy Landell. Who else was in it?
Stables. Oh, here we go. Wait. Hot Stuff International... This can't. That's not right. According to this
is the ECW version.
I see. Okay, the ECW version was Dark Patriot, Don Morocco, Eddie Gilbert, Jimmy Snuka, and Paul Heyman. So I guess that they kept that around.
So we want UWF.
You want the UWF version?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go. I got it.
Okay.
Let's see who was in it: Eddie Gilbert, Jack Victory, John Tatum, Missy Hyatt, Rick Steiner, and Sting. There you go.
There you go. Maybe then they broke up over Missy Hyatt.
Could be. Well, Sting, of course, went on to WCW. Great success there, as did Rick Steiner.
Yes.
Casey hadn't heard Sting before.
That's correct. Sting did, in fact, go to WCW. Casey, you guys didn't know that one.
Little known facts about this Sting wrestler.
Yeah.
He went to WCW.
The Hall of Famer now.
Yeah.
He wrestled a guy named Triple H.
Yeah.
Not too long ago. So that led to the final match of the TV title tournament.
Of this episode.
Of that episode. Jimmy Snuka versus...
Larry Winters.
Who is the most normal-looking guy.
He was Tony Stetson's tag team partner.
Who's Tony Stetson? The Hitman?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Hitman, Tony?
Yeah,
okay.
They were...
I'm sorry, you didn't say Tony the Hitman Stetson, so I got confused there.
And they are the number one contenders for the tag team titles.
Okay.
So at some point down the line, they faced Super Destroyers for those ECW tag team titles.
Wow.
Anyway, Snuka wins with a top rope splash. Not a huge surprise.
Yeah. I could probably, if we were doing predictions for this, we could. Yeah, that's what we should do. We should do not look up who wins and going in reviews.
See the card.
We just see the card, and then we do predictions.
Snuka's in a match. He wins by top rope splash.
Wait, is he fighting Larry Winters? The Larry Winters?
Ooh.
No, ECW's Larry Winters.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Snuka by top rope splash.
Top
winner.
Rope splash is going to happen.
So after this seemed like the main event. Snuka versus Larry Winters.
Yeah, I mean, Snuka, given that Snuka is the only recognizable wrestler who isn't Hot Stuff, who is like leading a stable, and Terry Funk, then yeah, he was going to go over in the main event.
And yet, there was another match after this. There was just somebody milling about in the ring, and then Sal Palomo comes in and beats him up.
Just starts beating the crap out of him.
Never found out who the other guy was. Still have no idea.
Yeah.
And then Sal apparently was so angry about losing via countout earlier that he had to go in and pin somebody.
Well, that might have been a shoot.
It could have been.
We can't dismiss the possibility. That might have been a shoot.
That's a good point.
That might have been a ring crew guy that Sal Palomo just wanted to, you know, take.
He was in ring gear.
He was in ring gear?
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes after the show is over, the ring crew, they'll let them bounce around the ring a little bit.
There's still people in the audience.
Well, you know, it's 1993.
You're running a bad joke into the ground. You should just stop.
It's not a joke. I'm speculating. You don't know.
No,
you don't know what's going on
here. There is a match.
Just saying. Impromptu ring boy thing.
All right, let's talk about next week.
All right.
Do you have anything else to say about ECW Hardcore TV Episode 1? No.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed we didn't do Nitro. I'm going to put
well,
that on
you
the
can offer it up
week.
Next week.
Next week, I'm going to do the first, second, and third episodes of WCW Nitro.
This is what I'm doing this week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So I was in like the late 90s, early 2000s. I was fortunate enough to go to my first wrestling shows for each of the three major promotions. WWF at the time, WCW, and ECW.
Okay.
So I'm putting up for vote those three shows.
Okay.
The first, Raw from Davis, California, January 26, 1998.
Hold on. Are any of these 3 hours long?
Nitro might be.
Okay.
I think Heatwave is too.
Okay.
Second.
So my vote is for Raw.
Second. This is interesting, Raw, because this is after the Royal Rumble.
Number one, I think. Wasn't I at that Nitro with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
HBK was after his back injury.
Oh.
So it's an interesting show. I started watching it not that long ago. First, or the Nitro is...
So this is coming off of the casket match.
Yes. Where HBK got hurt. The Nitro was from February 23rd, 1998, in Sacramento, California.
The debut of White Thunder Scott Steiner, I believe, right? Yeah. Well, that lasted one episode, and then he was Big Papa Pump soon after that.
And then lastly, as far as I know, ECW's only, the original version of ECW's only appearance on the West Coast from Los Angeles, California, Heatwave 2000.
Now, do we know if the WWE Network version of this
has the XPW wannabe invasion? Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
We'll find out.
I kind of want to do that one. Part of me wants to do that and see if, because we were up in the balcony. We were
in
the second level. So you're not going to see us there.
No, we're in the lower level, I think.
Were we?
I think we're just way in the back of the lower level.
Oh, that could be. Where was that?
That was at the Olympic Auditorium.
The Olympic, yeah.
Same like, place we did the XPW show where we saw a guy
building,
burned
yeah.
to death.
Same place, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Boy, my memory is shot.
Yep.
And I didn't even do drugs back then.
No.
I didn't start that until I was like in my late 30s.
You don't even do them now. So, here we go. The winner this week, next week, is ECW Heatwave 2000. This is after everybody good from ECW had already left. Except for Tommy Dreamer.
I think, wasn't RVD there too?
Maybe no, he was gone, I think.
Oh, was he?
I think so.
Oh,
maybe he's still around. I remember. If so, then RVD was still there. But
yay.
This is after pretty much everybody left.
Anyways, you have your homework. Go watch, and this time next week, we'll join you again.
Yes.
Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.